You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
In the lead-up to US President Donald Trump's second term in office, the United States has been in what academics and observers are calling a state of perma-crisis. Since Trump's inauguration, decisions such as the appointment of cabinet members, the pardoning of convicts involved in the January 6th Capitol storming, and the signing of executive orders targeting immigrants and transgender people have uprooted political conventions and normalized chaos as a daily occurrence. I spoke to Director and Associate Professor of Global Studies at the University of Auckland, Dr. Chris Ogden, about how and why Trump and his followers weaponize chaos and manufacture crises. In an article for The Conversation, you focus on Trump's instinct for weaponized chaos. In this context, what do you define as weaponized chaos?
So I think the ability to remove certainty from politics, remove certainty from debates, propagate misinformation, disinformation, and just to generally create confusion in the minds of the opposition that they can't really track or trace what Trump is really intending to do.
Historically, crises have been defining moments for governments. How might a crisis make or break a leader's career?
So often in the past, crises are seen as things that could destroy a government, say an economic recession, some kind of political scandal, corruption, maybe a war. But increasingly, they've also been seen as chances for opportunities, ways to make things better, ways to maybe invade another country, for example. The big thing I try to focus upon in the article would be, if you can create crises, then in many ways you can start to define the kind of political ecosystem, and then you can start to use it as a means to make your own policies. So you don't need to wait for the crisis. You make the crisis, then you can make change that way.
Following on from that, in the conversation, you talk about power and chaos and the use of disinformation to create uncertainty. What does this look like in the Trump administration?
So I think what it looks like is in the last Trump administration, every day there would be policy announcements, wild comments, seeming irrationalities, and I think all of those things will be kind of hypercharged in this administration. And I think the aim is to create confusion in the opposition, so they don't know what to focus upon. Does Trump really want to invade Greenland, for example? Does he really want to get rid of undocumented migrants? Does he really want to do this? Does he really want to do that? So there'll always be a kind of questioning. And I think the aim is to take up the bandwidth of the opposition so that they become distracted and pulled away from the actual other changes that are happening, or they just lack the ability to adequately respond to all of these different challenges.
Does social media play a role in the spread of disinformation?
Hugely. Massively. So again, we saw that 8 years ago. I think that again, that is turbocharged in this era. If there are willing components within social media, that means individuals, but also the owners of social media itself, who are unwilling to check if things are true, if they're unwilling to fact check things, if they want to just propagate things that inspire very strong emotions, such as fear or hatred, then all of these mechanisms can help ensure that there are greater degrees of confusion and greater degrees of chaos.
According to the BBC, Republican voters hail the Trump administration as disruptors of a corrupt establishment. Why might voters feel that the current order is corrupt?
So I think there's a sense in many ways that the system or the promises of the system haven't fulfilled or haven't been fulfilled. So in the sense that, say, maybe 20 years ago, people were told, well, if you work hard, you'll be able to gain economically, you'll be able to get a good job, you'll be able to get a good home. I think that those things are increasingly broken. And I think that this is one reason why figures like Trump have emerged, who've said that they can provide the solutions, they're a kind of antidote, they can break the system, the system's at fault. And I think for many people who feel very precarious socially and economically, they want that disruption. They want some kind of solution. And that seems to be what the Trump administration has promised.
Following on from that, how have Republican politics changed since the first Trump presidency?
So I think the biggest thing is that in many ways, the Republicans, in a sense, don't exist. They've been replaced by Trumpians. So the whole Make America Great Again movement, the whole MAGA movement, that's what's replaced the Republicans. And that means it's much more radical. It's also much more focused upon one individual. So it's all about Trump and a kind of obsequence or kind of bowing down to Trump. And overall has become far more aggressive, I would suggest. Far more aggressive towards opponents, far more aggressive against any kind of minority. And really, I would suggest also acting with a complete impunity. So I think Republicans of old, they would have tried to respect the rule of law, for example. They would have had some kind of grace or moral compass in their politics. But with Trump, all of that has completely evaporated.
You write in The Conversation that disaster politics has the potential to pull other countries into its orbit. Have we seen, or are we currently seeing, similar strategies being used elsewhere?
So I think there's definitely similar strategies in the United Kingdom. Similar strategies are emerging in Germany. I think the same in Argentina. And realistically, if you're an autocrat who wants to keep power and disable your opponents from criticizing you or replacing you, I think disaster politics is a perfect way to do this. So again, you confuse the opposition, you take up all of their bandwidth, you attack them in any way possible. And I think more broadly, consequences of some Trump policies will also affect democracies, including New Zealand. So increased tariffs, for example, using that as a way to bully opponents into doing what you want. Also, if he does really deport so many migrants, that will also have economic consequences, which could lead to a recession, which would also affect other countries like New Zealand.
What do you expect we will see out of this presidency?
I think we'll see chaos becoming completely normalised. I think we will, at least in a year's time, we will just expect complete instability. And I think that would be kind of hypercharged and hypercharged by Trump and all of those around him. I think we'll see a very aggressive president. We've already seen that already with the Colombian president the other day, refusing to accept flights of migrants, for example. Trump threatened him with tariffs, and then he reversed his decision. So I think a much more aggressive foreign policy, a much more aggressive and uncertain world. And at some point, I think potentially maybe imploding and causing more kind of problems across the world.
That was Director and Associate Professor of Global Studies at the University of Auckland, Dr. Chris Ogden, speaking about how and why Trump manufactures chaos.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.